This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 11 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we're all traveling this faithful bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation of the things that God is showing me as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at botfpodcast.com. You can also connect with me at facebook.com/botfpodcast. I'm really excited about this episode because I got to sit with my friend Grace Norman and get some real-life examples of how to apply what we talked about last time, discipline. Why does Grace have any authority in this matter? Because despite having a below-knee amputation at just days old, she not only has become an accomplished triathlete, something I can only dream of, but she also became the first female gold medalist for the triathlon in the 2016 Rio Paralympics. Grace also happens to love Jesus, so while she balances training and normal things like babysitting my children and being a full-time nursing student at Cedarville University, she has gleaned a lot of knowledge and wisdom about the realm of discipline and how it relates to our relationship with God. So take a minute to listen to what God has to say through her. I hope you'll be as blessed as I was by her words. Also, links to her coach and prosthetics company can be found in the show notes. Please enjoy this interview. We're here today with Grace, and we're going to ask some questions about her discipline, self-discipline, how people have helped her build on that, and even how people have corrected her to make her where she is now from the beginning. So going back to the beginning, she has a very interesting past and start to this whole thing. So why don't you go ahead and tell us the story of your leg?
So I was diagnosed with a congenital condition called amniotic band syndrome, and that basically happens when I was in the womb of my mom, and it took my left leg from below the knee, so I am missing my left foot. So,
That's it? Okay. All right. All right, so that does put us in a interesting, like, how did you even get started in sports and triathlon with all that backstory?
I grew up in a very athletic family. My mother was a collegiate runner. My dad swam in high school and is now coaching in high schools. And my sister, my older sister, was a collegiate runner. My younger sister's a swimmer. And so it became very clear to me that that was what we did as children. We went out and did family runs. We played all these sports. We were introduced into soccer and t-ball and basketball very early on. And that's where I kind of developed my hunger for athletics. I started triathlon actually in 2014, I believe. My dad actually started doing triathlon first. And I kind of saw that as like, wow, this is a really cool challenge. You have three different disciplines you have to be good at in order to win this sport, instead of just like what I was used to doing of just being a runner or playing basketball or soccer. It's a whole different element of you do one thing and then, oh, you think you're done, but nope, you got to do another one. And then you finally finish after the third thing. And so, I kind of followed in my dad's footsteps there and started just doing local triathlons in Ohio, and then eventually I got put onto the international circuit.
Sweet. So with that, do you have a specialist that works with the prosthetics for you? Is there one specific person that you work with?
I work with a prosthetist out of Vandalia here in Ohio. His name is Glenn Schober, and he has made all my legs. A total of six now. And they have been an incredible team that have kept me on top of things and in the highest technology possible. And they have just made a huge difference in my athletic career and in my personal life with different feet that I can wear, making it possible for me to wear high heels and just looking more like a normal leg instead of just kind of like the, you know, a mechanical leg.
That's awesome. Let's see. What kept you going at the beginning? What was your hardest thing to keep pushing through?
probably one of the hardest things in the beginning to get through was just getting all the equipment, getting my timing down right in training, and finding people to really be a good support team. I have my family, and my family has always been my biggest fans, and they back me in everything I do. But trying to find that coach that works just right with you, and getting actually into the circuit of racing around the world, that was really difficult. And feeling like I could do this because it's such a different sport than what other people do. I grew up in Xenia, Ohio, and I went to Xenia Christian, and no one in my high school ever did triathlon. It was not really heard of. And so I ran cross country and track, but like, you also had to fit in swims and bikes, and trying to get that timing down was just so difficult. And finding that person that you trust as a coach, and trusting the process, and finding those workouts that work for you, that was probably one of the hardest things, is just trying to get everything down into a system.
So what motivated you at the very beginning? What made you think I can keep doing this even though it's really hard?
The beginning was definitely born with a dream. I've always wanted to be in the Paralympics. When I was little, that was my dream. I was like, I want to go to the Paralympic Games, and I don't even think medaling was part of that dream. It was just going and representing my country in the Paralympics. And throughout the beginning, that is what kind of sparked the idea of triathlon, is because it was being added to the next Paralympic Games in 2016 in Rio. And I was like, hey, this is a good opportunity. You know, my dad's doing this. It's a fun sport. It's a challenge. And like, I could fulfill my dream of going to the Paralympics. And that vision, that dream really stayed with me. And through every like hard workout that you just don't want to do, and like, you're just done with this, like, that was still in my mind. And it really pushed me to just fulfill that dream, you know? And as the time got closer and closer to actually going to the Paralympics, it was even more amazing because I could see my dream becoming true. And it was just like, that's what really motivated me in the hard times of training and stuff like that.
So the not fun part of discipline, how did discipline from your parents factor in to training?
I was actually a pretty terrible child. I had the worst temper tantrums ever. And out of my two sisters, there's three of us, I was definitely the worst child. I received the most spankings, the most groundings, everything. I just had a crazy temper. But my parents have told me that they think that because of who I was as a child, I had this drive, this hunger to never give up. And that, yes, got me into a lot of trouble as a child because I didn't like to lose arguments with either my parents, siblings, whatever. But they disciplined me definitely out of love, but they instilled in me self-discipline, whether it was through sports or life in general. They've definitely helped me a lot just develop into my own character through a much calmer way, not so much as this tantrum child, but into a more self-disciplined adult. And they have played a huge part in my life, helping me realize that discipline is important in all aspects of life. They have definitely helped me. They've been a good model in what I need to be as a parent one day, and as an athlete has come into play, because discipline is a huge part of athletics and just life in general.
What about discipline from your coach?
Discipline from my coach is a little bit different than my parents. You know, he wasn't around me as a child, so it's not the, oh, this is the wrong thing to do, so I'm going to ground you or spank you or, you know, look at you in the wrong way. But it's more of a self-discipline where he gives me my workouts and he expects me to do them. And that discipline comes from him, and it makes me want to do it for him, to make it so that his journey with me is worth it. It can be hard because he lives out in Utah, and so he doesn't see me every day on a day-to-day basis. He's not standing over me saying, hey, you need to go run now, or you need to go swim now, or go to sleep. And so there's always that image in my mind that I need to do the very best I can to do the very best I can for him and for what he has been putting into my life. He has a family of his own, and I don't want to be just another child of his. I want to be someone that he can be proud of, and that discipline that he puts into me should display in the discipline of my athletics.
Have there been times where he's had to correct you in a certain way to kind of steer you more into a better direction?
Yes. My coach has had to steer me in multiple better directions. The main ones right now are just in my nutritional life. I am horrible at remembering to drink water, and I'm just always dehydrated. He told me he wanted to write drink all over my arms so I could remember to drink. And so that's been a huge thing that he's had to work with me on. Eating habits, just remembering to eat and to eat enough for the caloric deficits that I've been in. And sleeping, just the normal basics of life, I seem to forget. And he has to stay there on me and just correct me, be like, hey, this is more important sometimes than getting in these tough workouts, because then you are going to suffer and it's not going to work. And just a lot of times he's had to correct my attitude. It's definitely hard to keep a super positive attitude all the time whenever training is hard. You really don't want to get up in the morning. And he just reminds me, like, hey, you need to get this together. Like, you need to find your why, like, why you want to do this. Trust the process, and like, trust him. And that definitely helps, because attitude is a super big part of anything in life. And especially in athletics, whenever you're not racing all the time, you're not winning all the time, there's got to be something that you can keep grounded, you know? And he's definitely had to correct my attitude a lot.
I would need help with my attitude, that kind of stuff. So you said your parents have helped you and your coach has helped you with learning about self-discipline. So can you tell me more about the process of things that you've had to learn in that realm?
Yeah, my parents and my coaches have been huge factors in just helping me learn about self-discipline. I think I've had to exercise a lot of it with being a student in college and being on the cross country and track teams for Cedarville University, and having to juggle these extra training hours for Team USA. And then there's also that extra part of self-discipline, of your spiritual discipline, of reminding yourself, putting that time away and aside for God. And my parents have been a huge factor and role models in my life for living a life worthy of Christ and putting that time away. And they even made a little prayer room in our house where they put chairs up and they have a bulletin board they like write prayer requests on. And every time I see that, it's just a little reminder of, I need to do that, you know? And that's been really amazing to have those role models in my life. As far as being a student athlete, it can be really challenging. You come home from a really hard day of working out and you have homework to do, but the bed also looks really comfy and it can be really hard not to just fall asleep. But the grades come first as far as what I want to do later in my life of being a nurse and my profession. And I need to hit those books as well as the road for the training hours.
So what correlation do you find between your training for the Olympics or just training in general and your relationship with God?
I think athletics, like a training relationship with your coach and with your actual training and God, kind of go hand in hand. There's a lot of parallels you can see. You're never going to improve a relationship of any kind unless you put time into it. I had a lot of problems with finding a coach that I trusted completely. And it can be really hard whenever you look at the week's plan and you say, I don't want to do that workout. That looks really, really hard. But in your mind, you in your heart, you trust your coach fully with what he knows. He sees the bigger picture and he knows that this is going to help you in the end. And that has helped me realize what I need to do with trusting God. It can be really hard when you see things that come up in your life, like an injury. I had a foot problem this past track season for Cedarville and wasn't able to compete. And I can look at that and be like, okay, God, I don't understand this. And all I want to do is I want to run track. And he's like, hold on, Grace. Like, I see the bigger picture. And I still need, I don't know what this injury has done for me, but he sees the bigger picture. And that is like, you just need to trust me. You know, you trust people on earth and they're not perfect. Like, I'm perfect. Trust me. And it's been incredible seeing that the parallels between athletics and relationship with God, and knowing that you have to put 100% into something if you want to get 100% out of it.
So in all of this training, were there times you wanted to give up?
Definitely. There's different phases of training, and there are good times and there are bad times, just like life, you know? And it's really difficult, especially because I am a collegiate athlete at Cedarville. I don't have a lot of people to train with for triathlon. And so a lot of the times I'm doing almost like 75% of my training alone. And that can get really difficult because there's no one to push you, no one to encourage you, except like after the fact, like, wow, good job, good workout today. But it's like, yeah, but I had to suffer all by myself. And, you know, TV shows and music can only do so much to get to keep you going during a workout. So definitely there are phases in this. The triathlon season is very long. It starts in around, I start training in November or December, and then I go till September is when Worlds is. And so I get about a month off, a month or two, it depends. And by the end of the season, I am just done. Like, I am exhausted. I'm tired of traveling. I'm tired of training and putting in these crazy hours. And at times, I just kind of want to be a normal person. You know, you look around, you're like, they're doing nothing and that looks wonderful. And like, they can eat whatever they want and that looks amazing too. And it can be really hard to just keep that motivation. And I'm going to be honest, right now, I'm kind of in one of those phases of just not wanting to keep going. And it's really difficult to get that mindset under control and try to change it. And so it can be a lot of factors play into what makes me get into these phases of not wanting to keep going. It can be exhaustion from just life in general. It can be very stressful emotional times of life, of college, of different relationships, and or just not in it mentally, or having a bad race or something like that.
So I'm going to switch gears because you brought in a good question for me. So you say that like it's motivating for you to train with other people. What about being with other people besides just not being alone? What helps them pull you with them?
Definitely training with other people is a huge factor in getting quality workouts. There's something about training with people, not just that you aren't alone, it's that you can use their energy. Everyone brings their own certain personality to a workout and their own energy. And just the fact of someone saying, hey, I feel amazing today, let's go ride this canyon, when you're looking at this daunting hill, especially coming from Ohio where the biggest hill is like 2 feet, you know, you're looking at this mountain in front of you and you're like, this is really hard. But it's just someone saying, hey, let's go climb this canyon, and just bringing that smile, that enthusiasm can just really change how a workout can be. And just the team mentality, I guess, like we always swim as a team. We always get there at the same time and jump in the cold water in the morning. And just having that, those people around you and their energy, sometimes you can, you know, you feed off of each other's energy. It can be bad, it can be good. And you want it to be good because then your workout benefits. But you also have to look at yourself and what you're bringing to the group. Because you can be that one person that changes someone else's workout. You can make it horrible for them because you're just not into it and your energy is very low and just not positive. Or you can be that light to someone and bring that smile and say, hey, we're going to do this workout. And that really changes someone's day.
That's really cool. So let me go in with the flow because
yeah.
You're saying such awesome things. Thank you. I'm like sitting here. I'm partially emotional anyway, just because of life. But it's just like trying not to cry because the stuff you're saying is like really resonating, even though I don't. Me in triathlon would be really funny. You've seen me run.
Hey, no, that's good.
You've seen me get lost for an hour.
Yeah, that was good too.
But yeah, so have there ever been times in an actual race that you've wanted to quit?
Definitely, yes. most of the time, that feeling of wanting to quit comes from a defeated attitude or defeated in the race. Just recently, I was in Japan racing and things were just not going my way. I was behind in the bike and the time kept getting farther and farther that I was behind. And by the time I got onto the run, I was 2 minutes behind. And I knew in my heart I could not make up that time. And it's really hard when you are used to something, such as beating a certain person or coming out on top or things going your way, and something hits you and you are just completely changed. You know, you are not in first, you were way behind, there's no way you can make up the time. And then that's when the thoughts start creeping in saying, hey, you are just not doing well today, maybe you should just stop. Or is there some excuse you could make for why you're so slow or why you didn't do as well or something that could pull you out of the race ultimately? And that's really hard to admit because you don't like to show weaknesses, you know, and it's especially when, you know, your coach and your family has put so much into you and you get to this race that you've trained for all year and something's not working right and you just want to stop. There's been other races where like mechanical problems has happened and everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. I've had broken prosthetics, I've had flat tires, and that there's just been so much that's gone wrong. And you look at the race and you're just like, why did I continue? And I think every time that you beat that defeatist mentality is a step in the right direction. It is very hard to continue going when everything inside of you is just telling you to stop, whether you're just in extreme pain from pushing yourself or you're just in a very bad mood in anything you're doing. But every time you get back up and you keep going, then you make yourself into a stronger person, whether that's in life, whenever you get beat by something, or in a race where you're just not feeling it. It really does make you into a stronger person, an athlete, and whatever you're doing.
So what specific things help? Especially, I'm thinking, like, do you change a tire? What do you do in the middle of a race when you have a flat tire?
Well, we bring extra wheels, and so we just switch out the wheel. But
yeah. I guess they're not really tires in bikes, are they?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It just takes longer.
Okay. Yeah. I'm obviously not a engineer.
That's okay.
Okay, so you have like the tools with you to help fix with whatever mechanical problem, but like what helps you? Do you have a goal in mind that you push toward when you feel defeatist, or do you have like a specific person that you try to think about or anything like that?
It depends on the situation of where I am and what I'm feeling. If it's a workout situation and I'm just not feeling it and I don't want to do it, I most of the time will reach out to my coach and talk with him either before or after the workout and just kind of share with him what was going through my mind. And that can be helpful just to hear someone say, hey, you really need to get this workout done and it's going to be okay. Like, it's going to help you. And something that I was reminded of I think it was last summer, was that whenever you are feeling defeated during, like, this is for me, like, in a workout, I am always reminded of, like, the gifts I've been given from God. And, like, if I just choose to say, hey, I'm not feeling this today and I don't want to do this, that's kind of saying, I don't want to use your gifts today. And you've given me the ability to get up this morning, to breathe, and for me to say, I don't think I want to use your gift, is kind of just a slap in the face. And so for me to bring him glory every day by doing that is just an incredible way to say thank you. It's an act of worship instead of just, you know, changing the mindset of, hey, I can worship God today by doing this, instead of choosing to lay in my bed and look at my phone and do whatever I want. It's like, I'm going to choose to do this and use the gifts God has given me. During a race, whenever I feel very defeated, most of the time I just try to get through the finish. I've worked with a sports psychologist before just to get little tips on how to kind of train your mind to move away from those thoughts. Instead of just like trying to block them out, you can accept them, but then move on and not let them become who you are in that moment. And one of the things that I do is I focus on my breath, and that's something you can always control. You're always in control of how you're breathing and the thing you're doing right now. And so that has helped me, because it really brings you into the moment and not of, wow, that was a horrible swim. Now I'm on this bike and now I'm thinking about the run. Instead, I'm on this bike and I'm going to work as hard as I can at this moment, what I'm doing, where. And that can help you kind of just bring everything back and kind of centralize your focus on what you're doing. Being defeated after a race, which I've had to deal with several times, I give myself a day to kind of wallow in my self-pity and then move on. Like, it's good to realize that, yes, I have been defeated and I had a horrible mental race as well. It's not just the physical part. You can have a great result physically, like you can win a race, but if your mind wasn't in it and if you defeated yourself from the very start, that's not a good race. And so I give myself a day and then it's time to move on, and it's time to get back on the horse and or in the saddle of the bike, you know, and like really work hard. And having a huge support team is really important too. Having a family that loves you and a coach that cares for you, and just surrounding yourself with people who are encouraging, really helps. And just like feeling that love of like, yeah, that wasn't the best race, or this wasn't the great workout, but like, you're still an amazing person, an athlete, and like, we love you, God loves you, then this doesn't define you.
Last real question. Okay. Do you see God's discipline in your life?
I definitely have. I guess you can look at God's discipline in kind of two different ways. You can look at the correcting discipline kind and the kind of discipline where he wants you to be with him. So I guess starting with the correcting discipline, I need correction all the time. Whether it's just like your thought life, your actions, what ends up coming out of my mouth to someone, there's just constant times where I'm like, yep, God, okay, I need a slap. I am just definitely need to get back on track. So, there is a lot of correctional discipline from God in my life. But the one thing I love about it is I do view him as a father, and I have been lucky enough to, or I guess blessed enough to have a wonderful earthly father who disciplines lovingly. When I was a child, it was never out of fear. I was never fearful. I mean, you're afraid of what a spanking is going to feel like, but it was never, my father was never enraged or anything whenever he disciplined us. And I have that view of what God is like, of someone who will always hug you after they discipline you and love you, and nothing you can do will ever separate you from their love. And that's what I have as a picture of Christ and of God, is just this loving father who corrects me almost every second of my life, but it's out of love and support and wanting me to be closer to him and nothing out of anger. And I never feel like he is so mad at me that he won't forgive me. Looking at the other kind of discipline of him wanting me to spend time with him and grow closer to him, that is it's a different kind of push. It's a different kind of discipline. It's more of it's either a reminder, whether I see my parents reading the Bible or praying or going into their little prayer corner, and me saying to myself, I need to make time to do that. Whether it's like a pushing from the Holy Spirit of like, hey, you should pick up the Bible right now and read that while you're, you know, practicing piano or something like that. And it's more of like an overall feeling that I have of I need to do this because that's the only way I'm going to grow in Christ. You know, we have these things of people ask prayer requests, like I've done this before, I would like to grow my relationship with Christ. And it's like, all right, well, how is someone going to pray for that? Because it's not like you can't just sprinkle Miracle-Gro on yourself and expect your relationship with Christ to grow, you know? And it takes dedication, and I have lacked in that a lot. And especially from coming with being a student at Cedarville, you're kind of given it all year long. You're given Bible classes and chapel every day, and then you come home and you don't have that responsibilities anymore. You don't have the word constantly pushed in your face of, hey, this is, you know, what God's telling you today. And I think I definitely take it for granted at Cedarville because it's kind of like, I don't really have to work very hard. And then you get home and you're like, wow, there's something definitely missing from my life. And that's where God's discipline kind of comes in of, hey, you need to get back with me. Like, I want to spend time with you. I want you to want to read my word and to get into me. And I think that's been a huge thing that I definitely need to work on. I am by far not perfect at all in that. And just that loving little whisper of like, hey, Grace, I need you this morning and you need me to live and to do everything you are doing today. So give this to me. And that's something I need to strive toward being better every day.
This has been episode 11 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast entitled An Interview with Grace Norman. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/11 and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/botfpodcast.